Time now to catch up with Jeff from Acela Wine, and for a different reason this morning. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter, and good morning to all our listeners.
Mate, we're in a bit of a pickle.
We are in a bit of a pickle, Peter, and I've sent out a lot of emails, and I hope we have a lot of new listeners today, Peter, because we really need to mobilize rational thinking people. Our Prime Minister needs support, Peter, and that seems a little funny coming from me and from you. He's frequently been the target of quite a bit of our radio programs in the past, not always complimentary, but he's a bit embattled at the moment, Peter, and I think after today's program, I hope that we can convince a lot of our listeners to send some type of support to the Prime Minister and to his websites and anyone, you know, newspapers, TVs, radio stations. He's embattled, Peter, and he's embattled by the so-called experts. And you know the definition of an expert, Peter, right?
I'm just trying to think. Someone did tell me something.
Yeah, a drip under pressure. And we're going to talk today about some of the biggest drips in Australia.
Yeah, I'll go and get a pin, mate. We'll bust the balloon.
We are. Before we start, for the listeners that don't usually listen to our program, we mostly, you know, have a genial chat, you and I, and talk about advances in health and medical and, you know, diets and food and wine and all those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
And we do a lot of research to do that, Peter. We never speak about any topic that we don't start off with where the research came from.
Sure.
We always give the university or the medical center the credit. And then if it's controversial, as you know, Peter, we always read what the research was. So we'd never purport to be medical experts ourselves. But in this case, talking about the coronavirus, Peter, I'm not going to infringe upon the areas of medical experts, but I am going to talk about mathematics and the data. And I think I'm quite qualified to do that. We've been doing the radio program, what now, Peter, about 3 years?
Yeah, probably more, actually.
Yeah, and I don't think I have ever mentioned before that I have a doctorate in what you might call engineering mathematics. And if any of your listeners are any good at Google, they can find some of my mathematical treatises in some of the best journals in the world.
Mm.
And that doctorate came from a top university. So, and that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about statistics and maths and figures, because it's so much floating around here that just defies imagination. And, you know, I think we're qualified, Peter, you and I, to add two and two together just as well as anybody else can. And the data is being misused or ridiculous statements are being made. So we're going to try and straighten that out and support our Prime Minister if we can.
All right, mate, by all means, because, you know, I noticed this morning that we had groups of 10. We are now to groups of 2.
Well, here's the problem, Peter. We have this sector of these bigger drips pushing to push Australia into stage 3 lockdown.
Yeah.
Our effort today is to try to convince people or to show people why we need to support the Prime Minister to stop that from happening.
Sure.
And when I read what some of these drips have said, Peter, I'm reminded of the old bumper sticker, you know, beam me up, Scotty, no intelligent life down here. And these fellows are teaching in universities, Peter, which is even more worrying.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, where was the bus stop? It used to be here.
Yeah, so we don't want to infringe upon our wonderful medical people, Peter. They've been circulating petitions trying to get total lockdown. You understand it from their point of view. But think about this, Peter. When you go into a profession, like a policeman goes into a profession, he doesn't expect to get shot in the road or run over by a car. You know, you join the army, you hope you're a peacekeeper. You become a doctor or a nurse, you know, you look after sick people. Now, it's, and I understand it's a, you know, very trying situation, and there's a little difference here in the fact that they have to go home at night to families that I'm sure they're worried about bringing infections and all sorts of other things. It's a very, very trying time. But lockdown, I believe, in Australia's circumstance at the present time is not right. And I'm going to explain a few mathematical things, Peter, before we sort of get into a general discussion.
Sure.
The Prime Minister, about 10 days ago, introduced his lockdown, or his 14 days isolation for visitors coming to Australia, which is great. There was also some minor issues about, you know, social distancing and all types of other things, and all of which I think are very good. We did do a couple of silly things, of course, which we've talked about quite a lot with the cruise ships. You know, it's not that we can't demonstrate humanitarian things, Peter. We just didn't handle it properly. You know, we should, as we talked about last week, you know, we should have put them into total isolation, which is what's happening now. You can't leave people on a cruise ship for 2 years while you sort out your problems. There'll be, the ship will become a, you know, a hazard in the end. So that was fine. He did all that. And then about 3-4 days later, he closed restaurants and clubs.
Yep.
And pubs and things. And then a few days later, he went to, and initially groups of 500. Then he went to 100. Now he's down to 2. Okay, you can't walk your child around the block anymore as a three-unit family, Peter. It's against the law. So here's the problem. When you are taking statistics or taking, you know, tests to see who has the coronavirus, when you keep changing the goalposts, your data doesn't mean a lot. Now, I'll come back to this in a second. The first thing that's never mentioned when they're reporting figures is how many tests the figures were based on. See, look, if you do 10,000 tests and you find 100 people, and if you did 20,000 tests and you found 150 people, which is the greater infection rate, Peter? See, you reported as we found 150 people. Well, that's true, but if you're going to compare it to last week's tests, when you only did 10,000 tests, you know, the infection rate has gone down.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's per 1,000 tests. We need that type of data. We don't get it, okay? We just get total infections. Okay, there's the first thing that's wrong with the data. The second thing that's wrong with the data is, as we've said, we have no measure yet of any individual step, which is fine. All these steps, I'm not arguing about the steps. I am a bit. Some of them, I think, were not instrumented correctly. But what's happened is, in the last 6 days, the infection rate's going down. Okay, now the average incubation period is between 5 and 6 days. Okay, so the first stage of the social distancing, etc., was about 10 days ago. Not even that, I think it's only about 8 days ago. Okay, so already we've had 6 declining days on average since the first stage was taken, Peter. And yesterday, the Prime Minister got up and announced that the infections, new cases, were down to 257. They are up a bit today, Peter. They're up over 500, but basically, in the last 6 days, they've been going down at the rate of about 10% a day on average. Here's the point. We've got all these experts. The Prime Minister just gave another $2 million to his advisors that are advising him on the health and issues and that. Not the big drips that we're going to talk about in a moment, but he hires this firm to give him advice. Well, he should fire them. He certainly should fire all his spin doctors. And I'm going to explain why, Peter. He missed a golden opportunity yesterday, and this is what I want to convey to your and to our listeners, Peter. Yesterday, the Prime Minister announced the infection rate was down to 257. Was he right, Peter? No, I'll answer for you. No, he wasn't right. And I'll explain why he wasn't right. There is a 6-day incubation period. So when he announced that new infections were 257 on the 28th of March, they were actually 257 on the 22nd of March. They became a database statistic on the 28th, but the infection rate that they were measuring was actually from the 22nd, 6 days previously. So the rate has been going down 10% on average since the 22nd. At the 28th, we are 257 database recorded cases. But a grade school mathematician, Peter, can work out that decreasing 10% a day over 6 days means that the actual infection rate on the 28th was most likely 130 cases. 257 less 10% 6 times, which is like 130. And his spin doctors could have said, look, Peter, the press was so, the infection rate's doubling every 3 days and it's a world catastrophe and on and on and on and on. But when it's going down, Peter, the rate, it's working for us. And nobody ever mentions it. So the infection rate on Sunday wasn't 257. That was what was entered in the database. The infection rate was probably 130. And in 6 days, that's probably about what it'll show, all things being equal. And I think because they keep increasing the restrictions, it's most likely that's what's going to happen. It's going to continue to go down at that 10% rate.
Mate, should we send them new batteries for their calculator?
Yeah, I think, look, you could give that exercise to a grade 10 student and 90% of them would come up with the answer. And look, this hysteria about going to stage 3. And the whole idea of this program is let's stop this hysteria and let's stop going to stage 3. Stage 3 lockdown, Peter, which they're talking about and they're waffling about now, everybody is locked down. Nobody goes to work. You know, the whole economy and country seizes. And that would be done if the decision was made Sunday, as the cabinet was meeting to decide upon, would have been done on the basis of most likely 130 cases of coronavirus. Nothing is more insane. I understand mathematics. None of their experts apparently do. We've got the number one biggest drip, who is the pusher of the other side to lock down the country, from the University of Melbourne. His answer is, we're only attempting to flatten the curve. 60% of Australians are going to get the virus anyway, and that's going to protect the other 40%. Well, if 60% of the country gets the virus, Peter, a little bit of math shows that 400,000 people are going to die. Mm-hmm. Now, his theory is, if you know every second person or 2 out of 3 people you run into have had the virus, you're probably safe. It's a theory they use to get rid of fruit flies, Peter. And that is, they release billions and billions of male sterile fruit flies. And so a female has like a 1 in 1,000 chance of finding a fertile male, and pretty soon they die out. And this is this major drip's philosophy here. If enough people get it, then the rest of them are safe. You just got to make sure you're in the safe patch, Peter.
Yeah.
didn't want to be in the 60%. And then we had our, you know, and he's got friends at the University of Newcastle here, this major drip, another guy called Dr. Dalton, who's right in his camp pushing the prime minister to lock down the country. And we had our chief medical officer of New South Wales making this in her first press conference. She got up and said, 1.5 million citizens of New South Wales are going to catch the coronavirus in the first wave. What resulted, Peter? I'll tell you what resulted. Riots in Woolworths, not necessarily riots, but pushing and shoving and fights and, you know, and hoarders. Hoarders. And a little bit of humor there, Peter. The price of a head of lettuce has nearly tripled. And they blamed it on hoarders. Now, who hoards heads of lettuce?
I'm just wondering what they're going to do with them if they get that many.
Yeah, well, how long do they last, Peter? 2 days? 3 days?
I can't see them putting that in the loo.
Yeah, anyway, so the Prime Minister had to get up and try and bring reason to the country. No need to hoard and, you know, please, this is not Australian. You know, we're not like that. But apparently we are like that, especially when we have these drips, so-called experts, making these wild and stupid statements. And we need to support the Prime Minister, make sure that he does not lock down. We're on a downward decline, Peter. So basically every day when you see, as long as it keeps declining like the way it has, every day when you see the stats, you can say to yourself, gee, the real infection rate today is probably half that.
Yeah.
Because of the 6 day lag. Now, when you're going up, it's a really different story, and it's you know, scary. But I want to talk about maths again a little bit, Peter, about the world and about the. I'm just going to get it so that here we go. Got to get the right one here. There's a thing called being ahead of the curve, Peter, and there's a thing called being behind the curve. We are very fortunately way ahead of the curve. So is the United States, so is Germany, so are quite a few other countries. Quite a few countries are on the curve, and many countries are behind the curve. And I can, you know, I don't have to tell you which those countries are. We're talking about Italy, Spain, France, Iran, and I'll explain what being ahead of the curve and being behind the curve is, Peter. The death rate of the coronavirus has proven to be around 3%, maybe a little less, maybe a little more. It hasn't run its course. In China, the death rate, where it has run its course, the death rate was about 4% overall. And it might end up being that. So, when you look at a statistic like Australia, say, and I'll just look down to our figures here and I'll explain why we're ahead of the curve here. We've had 16 deaths, okay? But 16 deaths at 4% multiplied by 30 is about 500 cases to give 16 deaths. But we've actually tested and found we have 3,900 cases. So we're way ahead of the curve, Peter. Okay? It's very new here, so we probably can't take a lot from that. But we can take a lot from that if we go to some of the countries that have, you know, 40 and 50,000 cases. I want to jump to Italy. Italy has had 10,700 deaths. You multiply that by 30, Peter, to find out the number of people that have the virus to produce that quantity of deaths, you get over 300,000. But if you look at the total cases tested and found in Italy, it says 97,000. So there are over 200,000 cases in Italy that were not found to produce those 10,000 deaths. They are way behind the curve, Peter. So are Spain, They should have 100 and nearly 200,000. They've tested 80,000. Germany, on the other hand, has had 500 deaths. Okay, multiplied by 30 is 15,000. They've got 62,000 cases, Peter. They're a mile ahead of the curve. Okay, United States has had 2,400 deaths. So based on 30 times that, that's about 70,000. They've got 139,000. So they're way ahead of the curve. So is a lot of other countries, the Scandinavian countries, Canada. So things are going to be and continue to get much worse in Italy, Spain. France is behind the curve, but not as much, because they don't have a grip on it yet, Peter. And that's what we've tried to do here, is to keep a grip on it. As long as you can track your prime carriers and who they've been associated with, you don't need a lockdown, Peter. You need a lockdown when you've lost track totally of what's going on and where the infections are coming from. And unfortunately, Italy, Spain, Iran, you know, statistically, they're in a big, big mess, okay? Countries that are ahead of the curve, like Australia and Canada and the United States, they have a chance. They're still able to identify where the infections are coming from, track prime carriers, and control it. Now, I want to talk about countries, what countries have done. Sweden's done nothing. Okay? They're carrying on like nothing's happening in the world. And it's questionable whether they're right on top of it. They're certainly not. They're on the curve. They're not behind the curve. So they've taken their approach. They're about 300 a day people on a total about the same as Australia's. Okay, so they're not that far from what we're doing in Australia. They've closed nothing. They didn't close their bars, their restaurants, or anything. And on the other extreme, you have Northern Ireland, who shut everything, stage three, for 14 weeks. And they've just shut their borders as well, just yesterday or the day before. Now, they don't understand. Apparently, they have bigger drips than we have in Australia, Peter. Mm. If a infection rate is 6 days, 14 days is 2 infection rates. Okay? So what you need to do is put a dislocation in. So your rate's going up this doop at a slow rate. And Ireland has almost no cases, by the way, and they've locked the place down. If you do lock a place down, 14 days is 2 infection rates. You're going to decimate the population, the number of cases, number of new cases. So you may decimate it enough, Peter, to unclamp the system, because you're going to have a macroscopic jump. You may get it to the point where you can start tracking prime carriers again, right? If you can't, after a week or 10 days, shut it down again for a couple of infection periods. Shutting it down for 14 weeks doesn't do anything for you, because you've got everybody in isolation. You're ruining the economy, put everybody out of business for no reason. All you have to do is dislocate the growth. And shutting everything down for 2 incubation cycle periods dislocates the growth of cases. So, you know, countries need to use more intelligence, and they need better advisors than certainly the Prime Minister's been getting. We need to give him our support, Peter. He's getting ratbag information and recommendations from people that, I don't know, they're teaching our children, Peter, and it's totally beyond my comprehension. Now, this social distancing is a hell of a good idea, and, you know, arresting idiots. There's a big article in the newspaper about these ding-dongs that were skiing in Colorado. And there's an article, the U.S. Attorney General nearly arrested them for not following the guidelines at Aspen. They came home, and in 2 days, they were seen on the golf course. And quite a few members tried to get the club to kick them out, because they'd only just arrived back. Now, it's people like that that are moving the prime minister. We've gone from, 500 people gatherings to 100 to 10, which was probably a good number, Peter. Now we're two. And I was reminded by a famous statement by Pierre Elliott Trudeau, the previous Prime Minister of Canada. Before he was Prime Minister, he was Justice Minister. In those days, he was the one that introduced legislation in Canada called the Homosexual Act, Peter, which we don't say anymore, and we talk about the gay community. But when they asked him, he introduced the bill to make it no longer illegal in Canada. And when he got up in Parliament and made a statement, he said the state has no place in the bedrooms of the nation. And I think that applies here. You know, they're now telling us we can't have, even in the privacy of our own house, we are subject to the law of association. And I think that's a step too far. However, that's one thing in a whole broad range of measures. And we can disagree with this, or we disagree with that, or whatever, but we have to somehow give the Prime Minister enough support so that he doesn't follow these drips and bigger drips and lock down the country on 130, most likely, Peter, 130 cases, when we're well aware. He did the right thing with children, and I know teachers are on the front line, and that. But do you know, I get my statistics from a website called Worldometer, Peter, and for your listeners that are not familiar with it, they track every country, every type of statistic daily. And I highly recommend, if you want to know anything about what's going on anywhere regarding the coronavirus, you follow that. And in their tracking, Peter, in the age group of 0 to 10 years of age, there is not a recorded death for coronavirus. Children are less likely to catch it, and they are less likely to die. The 10 to 19 are 0.2%. You know, old codgers like you and I, Peter, we're in the 14% death area. So we got to be a little careful here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, schools, children are less likely to get it, and it doesn't affect them. Now, I sympathize with the teachers, but they're mostly in a low category group, too. And if I was in the education department, I would furlough all teachers over 40, because under 40 people don't get it that much either, Peter. And if they do, it's mostly, no symptoms or mild, asymptomatic or mild, even at 0.4%, critical. So, I think they're in the best place, and our Prime Minister made the right decision. A total lockdown, but Peter's going to close all that, okay? And it's going to close it on a declining, I don't know what these drips are saying now when they're predicting 1.5 million people are going to catch it in the first wave, and the peak happened at 500 cases and is now down to not 257 but 130 cases and heading down. And that's before the full effect of what the Prime Minister's done. But he's got to stop doing this, okay, because we've got the bus moving in the right direction, Peter, and big time. And he's made a few changes. Look, if we hadn't have let those, there's 200 odd people now that have got the coronavirus from those 2,600 people from the cruise ship they just let loose in town in Sydney. If he hadn't done that, we would have been, much, much further ahead. We'd have been out of the mess virtually by now. And I think some decisions were bad. Obviously, that was really bad. And some decisions have been quite good. But hey, let's not go overboard here. I think we're reaching the time very quickly that we've got to think about trying to save some of these businesses, Peter. You can't close cafes and coffee shops and, you know, small businesses and keep the economy functioning, especially if you're down to 130 cases. If you can't track with the billions and billions they're spending, and we talked about this in a previous program, Peter, putting it into the wrong area. You've got to track the prime carriers and who they've been in touch with. Put them into quarantine if you don't feel they're self-isolating. Okay, I think self-isolation, since they've put those new fines in, are probably working a lot better, Peter. And if not, maybe they can adopt the South Africa's approach. They had two people with coronavirus who didn't self-isolate, and they're trying to bring charges of attempted murder against them.
Interesting concept, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, you know. But that's what it is. They give it to an elderly person. You know, it's quite likely to happen. So I think, you know, those types of things are where you got to spend the money. You've got to spend the money in testing, obviously, and we get very little statistics on, you know, how many tests are going, but also on monitoring those or tracking down those contacts. Look, they talk about these community cases, Pete. I understand that, but they don't know where they got it. But that person becomes a prime carrier. And if you only have, you know, 30 or 20 prime carriers, certainly you can afford enough money to investigate who they've been in contact with and put them into self-isolation.
Let's hope you've got somewhere, man.
Yeah, if you, you know, have 10,000 prime carriers, then you're in a mess and you don't have much choice. But you know, we've got to use reason and some sort of rationale here, Peter. And that's why we've gone away from our usual format on this program to ask our supporters and our listeners to support your prime minister. You know, do you want to see a total lockdown? Do you want to see the country's economy go to hell in a handbasket, which is what's going to happen? Every small business, depending upon how long it's going to occur, we'll just go broke. Look, the government's program, we've been very critical of government's programs, Peter. The government's program of helping small business is a farce. It's like the farm disaster grants, Peter. It's all smoke and mirrors. If you keep your employees, Peter, you're going to get a high percentage of their pay. But hey, you shut me down. I have no business.
That's right.
How can I keep any employee? They give $750 to pensioners, and I'm all for that. They immediately lift the collusion laws against Coles and Woolworths and all those people. Woolworths has to hire 10,000 extra people to handle the millions of people that have got this extra $750 to go and spend, and they triple the price of a head of lettuce, toilet paper, everything's up. And it's not against the law, because the government passed a law saying that the collusion laws have been suspended.
And so, apart from that, any price that they put up is recommended retail. I like to call it rip-off retail, but there's no top ceiling.
Yes, well, look, Peter, as soon as they've whipped all that $750 from all the pensioners, the prices are probably going to settle. Look, surely, with all the times, Woolworths and Coles have had empty shelves. Everybody, especially now, I only got 100 cases a day, a little over 100 cases a day. People must be, you know, have their hoarding up the yin yang here. the rest of us, Peter, that haven't been to the supermarket to stock up, or drove past and said, "Who are all those crazy people?" You know, the rest of us will be able to go in about 4 or 5 days, Peter. There'll be nobody in there.
That's right. It'll be like, you know, the weekend. We've opened the doors, but where is everybody?
Exactly. Anyway, Peter, I appreciate the opportunity. And, you know, we're a small business ourselves, as you know, Vineyard. We've been caught by this net. or these regulations that the government's put out. We're trying to stop. What we're trying to do is reverse. Look, the restaurants one was stupid, I think. Totally stupid. You do social distancing. So you pass a rule and you say, okay, restaurants capacity is cut in half. Or if you're not happy with half, it's cut in quarters. You can only have your license for 100 people. You can't have more than 25 people in your restaurant at any given time, and they have to be separated by tables.
Sure.
And, you know, it's like you can't. And maybe that's the next stage, okay? I'd say, okay, you shut for 14 days. You can't do it any longer. It's stupid. There's no mathematical reason to do it any more than 14 days. And then you open it and you ease out of the restrictions, Peter, with something that shows thought and intelligence, not a herd instinct from some, you know, major drips in academic institutions who are pushing the government to do all these drastic things. So, Peter, we didn't talk about our usual programs. We'll have another one on Wednesday and probably talk on that. And I do appreciate the opportunity to, you know, make this appeal to our people to do something positive to support the government.
All right. And of course, you would like people, you mentioned you're a small business. They should jump into the website now and there'll be details there, including this podcast. And they can listen to it again if they wish. And, you know, order some wine. What a good idea.
Yeah, good idea. It's about all we've got left for us, Peter. Sit back and have a nice cup, nice glass of organic wine.
Oh, well, yes, that sounds good, actually.
Yeah, so, okay, I hope, you know, I hope our listeners, you know, as you say, it's available, the podcasts are available on our website to have as many people as possible listen and try and truly understand what's going on. And I think, and contact your local MP, contact the Prime Minister, write letters to the editor. Let's get some reason, some rational thinking back into what the government's doing. And I'm worried about the government, Peter, because they've made like 10 different laws in 8 days. You know?
Yeah, busy, aren't they?
They got to stop. They got to stop. You can't even judge the effectiveness of it. You know, the mathematically, we're in a real mess because we know it's going down, so something's working. But let's step back a little bit and take a deep breath.
Sounds good, mate. Always good to catch up with you.
And thank you very much, Peter, and we'll catch up with you again on Wednesday morning.
We certainly will. All right, looking forward to it, mate. Thank you. Jeff from Acela Wine. Now, that website, just so you can buy some lovely organic wine, is acelawine.com.au. And quite frankly, I'll be doing it now.